evolution.
CliffCentral.com. Wednesday mornings rolled around. I'm Sharon Dale. I'm here with Jonathan Sinclair, and together we bring you Animal Central. Hi, Jono.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good, good.
Our favorite day of the week again. Wednesday's
favorite
arrived.
Day. Happy hump day.
Yes, and the sun's just come out, like, in honor of this show, so I'm very happy about that.
Very, very
this weather's
true.
Getting me down.
Oh, tell me about it.
Yeah. This morning I even put on gray clothes because I was like,
yes,
if you can't
gray.
Beat them, you must just join them.
I think that's the worst part. You don't know what to wear every day.
Yes,
because
yeah.
then it does get hotter. Yeah. I've always said that in my old age, I'm going to have to move to KZN or Cape Town or something because this weather just doesn't suit me.
Well, you know, the winters in Cape Town aren't much better. I think we're actually up here in Joburg, you know, where we're sitting in our little studio. It's actually, I think we have it easier.
Easier. I think so. And I don't think we prepared here.
No,
in the
sure.
States, you have all this indoor heating and all this lovely stuff. We don't have that.
It must be nice.
It must be nice.
Yes, must be
but it's
nice.
Been an interesting week. We actually, had a couple of people call in and say they've been listening to the show and enjoying it. So it's,
I hope they've
good.
Been downloading the podcasts as
I
well.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I think we had a lot of downloads when we had the lady in
Schnauzer
Rescue.
Yes.
I tell you, Deborah Blaine is just an amazing lady.
Yeah, I actually saw all the posts going out on Facebook. It's amazing.
Yes.
I love it when
we
people share.
We should employ her as a marketing
person. We really are the only show, that
yeah.
really is an authority on animals in South Africa. I mean, in terms of internet radio, at least.
Right.
So it really is important that we get those podcasts out there and share it.
Yes.
And we really do have good information. I mean, Dr. Clint coming in. I mean, that's free veterinary advice that, you know,
and
can't
we'd
put
like
a monetary value on.
And we'd like people to get
on.
More involved. Send us questions. Get involved. Phone us, send us your questions or comments on WeChat.
Mm.
Let's make this interactive. We need,
yeah, of course.
We need to do that. But the one complaint I did have was that we don't do enough about cats. Now, that's very interesting. I used to publish all about Cats magazine that we closed eventually due to the lack of support out there. And it just seems like the whole cat, you know, loving market is a very different market from the dog market that I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought we'd maybe start today with a couple of interesting facts about cats. So I hope, Charlene, if you're listening, here's your cat piece.
And from what I understand, it's 9 facts?
There's loads of facts.
9. Oh, I thought it was going to
we'll
be 9 because you know they have 9 lives. I just... Okay, but let's get started.
Okay, so there's a whole lot of facts about cats, but let's just look at this one. This I found very, very interesting. Did you know that cats are more aggressive if they are not neutered and spayed?
Oh, okay.
So very, very important to have your cat neutered because we really don't need more unwanted little animals out there in shelters.
That's for sure.
The other thing is cats get a sense of security from your voice. So remember to talk to them because they can pick up from your voice what you mean. So if you scold them, they will understand.
And
they're
actually,
very sensitive.
They're very vocal creatures.
Very vocal creatures with a lot of talents. They have 500 taste buds.
What?
Yeah. So that's a lot of taste buds.
Yeah.
I suppose that comes into use when they're eating mice and all sorts of ugly, horrible things out there. Now, their tongue is also interesting. It's a spoon for drinking, so they actually spoon the water in. They use it for grooming, and then it becomes a washcloth or a comb or a towel. Now, here's something interesting, and let's see if you know. What is the technical term for a cat's hairball?
Technical term?
There is a term for it.
I'm not even going to guess. What is
okay,
it?
Okay, it's called a bezoa.
Oh, see, I would never have got that.
You see, so
a bezoa,
a bezoa. So now you know. Now, going back to the spaying and neutering, did you know that the average cat has between 1 to 8 kittens per litter, and about 2 to 3 litters a year? That is why.
Yeah. So you think how much one unneutered cat can produce in a
can
lifetime.
Have so many little kittens, and there's just not enough homes out there for them. Cats' heartbeat. 110 to 140 beats per minute. That's twice as fast as our hearts.
That's strange because they're such docile animals. Mm. I mean, they sleep most of the day.
Yes,
so. Funny that.
So maybe one more. Let's have a look. What else? It's a cat's brain is biologically more similar to a human's brain than it is to a dog's brain. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is.
So both humans and cats have identical regions in their brains that are responsible for emotions. So they can't.
It's really interesting.
People who say animals can't feel emotions, they absolutely can.
I think it is true that you do get cat people and dog people.
Yes.
Yeah. It's funny that. And, you know, we actually did speak about cats once on our show. We had Ben Karpinski of the Gareth Cliff Show. He joined us to speak about his cat.
He did.
What was her name? Princess Mew Mew.
That's right.
You know, and you know, Ben is like the manliest sports guy. He's, yes. You know, part of Men's Health and all these things. And then he has a cat named
Princess Mew Mew.
Princess Mew Mew.
I know.
Yeah. And he's crazy about her. So.
Then I just, you know, another little thing that if your cat's a house cat, please make sure that none of your house plants are toxic to them. Okay. Because there are a couple of plants that they can eat that can be highly, highly toxic. All plants, you know, as we know, have medicinal qualities. And therefore, some are potentially dangerous when eaten. So make sure that you've got no house plants in your house that can possibly poison your cat. And yes, going forward, you know, we'd love to have, we're looking forward to getting Louise Thompson in. She's a cat psychologist, a behaviorist rather. So that'll be quite interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting because you can't really train a cat like you can train a dog. It's not like you tap them on the snout or, they're not dogs.
You don't heel. No.
Yeah, a cat's going to be like, whatever.
Although, you know how many people take their cats for walks? Really? I've seen people put their cats on a leash.
My cat would laugh at me. There's no way.
Are you a cat person?
I identify more as a dog person, okay. But I do love cats.
Yeah, I'm the same. I think for me, any animal.
I just don't appreciate how the cat doesn't really need you.
Very like, independent.
If you don't see your cat for like the day, you don't really worry.
He does his own thing. Yeah. But yes, now you've got going on something a little more serious. So we're starting the show with a lot of serious matters and issues, and then we're going on to something really exciting because we've got a little dwarf pug in the studio with Cheryl and Malcolm
Cutest
Gore
thing.
From Pug Rescue. It's just too adorable. Mm-hmm. His name is Pickle, and he'll be our special guest later on. So let's get the heavy stuff out the way first.
Well, you know, this week, Sharon, everyone's been going crazy about the gay rights that have, you know, come into fruition in America. But I thought let's focus on some animal rights that I think need attention. Now, you know, throughout my life, I've always seen the bull run on TV, and it's not something I would really watch, but I never thought it was really that cruel. I mean, I thought it's more cruel to the humans who get knocked out by these bulls. But when I actually read up about it, what a cruel practice it is and how the bulls are almost taunted. So before they're allowed into the streets, they're actually blindfolded so that when they open the door to let the bulls run through the streets, they're blinded by the sunlight.
And they're panicked.
Yeah. Oftentimes they have petroleum jelly put into their eyes so that they don't have correct vision. And that's why you often see the bull running into the walls, running into things, which is really damaging it.
Terrible.
And a lot of the people who partake in those bull runs don't realize that after the bull has run, it lands up in the fighting ring where it's eventually killed. So, you know, I just really thought this is something that really needs to...
And this is an age-old tradition that these people think is lots of fun.
Very barbaric. Haven't humans, you know, evolved further than this?
Yeah, you'd think.
So, yeah, there was an article posted online, and I think there are people trying to change the laws and try and fight for these bulls, but I think because it doesn't happen in our country, we don't really pay that much attention to it. But I was just astounded at what a cruel practice it really is, because I never thought of it as being that cruel. I mean, you see the guys with the little red blankets in the bull rings, and you think the bull is just charging him, and then it goes back to its pen or whatever and lives out its life. No, that's not the case.
That's not the case.
These animals are killed and taunted.
You know, John, it's interesting that you say, I think that any practice where human beings use animals for their entertainment and enjoyment is a no-no, is cruel. I mean, yes, bullfighting, bull running, circuses, where these animals are kept in horrible conditions and trained to entertain humans. Dog racing, cockfighting, pit bull fighting, the list, it's all for human entertainment using these innocent little souls, which is wrong, in my opinion.
Yeah. So let's try and make a change one step at a time.
Yep.
But that's why we have the NSPCA back. We have Jaco Pieter, sir.
Jaco, welcome. Thank you so much for coming back in again. And Jaco is the manager liaison and also senior inspector from NSPCA. Welcome back, Jaco. Thanks.
Thank you so
being
much for
back
having
with us.
Us.
No, we felt we didn't have enough time with you last time, so we thought we'd get you back in. And I know there's a lot of things happening out there at the moment. A lot of court cases and things like that?
That's quite correct. We're quite busy at the moment. And throughout the year, we're quite busy with rescuing animals and court cases.
Yes, yes. And I think you were saying earlier there's a big one. Is it tomorrow in Vereeniging?
That's correct. That is a case involving a goat with bestiality, and the goat unfortunately didn't survive the ordeal, but fortunately we managed to lay charges, and the culprit is in prison as we speak
facing
charges tomorrow.
Really?
Yes, good. That's good. Correct. It's quite a serious offense in South Africa.
That's good to know.
How do you find out about a case like that? Because I would imagine bestiality would take place in a private setting.
Sadly, most of the cases are not reported. So we do rely on public in terms of that to report it to authorities. And fortunately, someone caught this suspect and reported it to the police and SPCA, and we managed to act then.
That's a very sad story. I don't want to get into logistics, but can I ask why would it pass away from that? I mean, how does it get injured so badly that...
This goat was strangled in the process, and that's why it sadly passed away.
Okay.
I don't know who would do that. How's your mind, actually?
Yeah, what's going on in the life of that person that
to
they...
To do that.
But,
so now he's in court tomorrow.
That's correct.
And you were saying there's going to be a protest going on and all sorts of things?
That's correct. The public has approached the Vereniging SPCA wanting to do more, and they are going to call a protest outside court. Obviously, the Vereniging SPCA will strongly oppose that he is not granted bail, so that he remains in police custody.
Yes. And what is the, I mean, normally on a case like this, you say bestiality is a serious offence. Is it jail time, usually?
It is. Culprits can be sentenced up to 3 years imprisonment or a fine of 60,000 if it's in a normal district court. If it's in a regional court, normally where these cases are heard, it's a fine up to 300,000 or 15 years imprisonment.
Sure. And Yaku, do these guys actually, I know our jails are jam-packed with serious criminals. Do they look at this as seriously and put them in jail, usually?
Sadly, animal cruelty cases are not always seen as priority cases. Mm. Even though the law makes provision for a harsh sentence, just look at the Oscar Pistorius trial. Yes. He's in jail for such a short period and now he's out again. So compare that to animal abuse. Yes. Then unfortunately, the justice system does not take animal cruelty that serious. And we haven't had as harsh sentences of late.
Of late. And don't they give them community service? I would think that somebody... being made to work at a shelter or at the SPCA.
Yeah, some rehabilitation.
Exactly.
The question we always ask, if a person is found guilty of molesting a child, do you want them to work in a nursery school?
That is such
a
good point.
We definitely don't want an animal abuser working amongst our animals. And especially if a person has been found guilty for bestiality, then what about our animals in our care? So that's a concern.
You make a good point.
I wonder, though, how common bestiality is.
It is quite common, but sadly, it doesn't get reported as often.
I would hate to know what goes on in the mind. How do you reach a point where you do that to an animal? You know what I mean? Yeah. Even a human, but I mean, do you really get pleasure from that? Do you really get satisfaction? I can't imagine.
I don't know.
But if I can add, in this particular case, the community actually took matters into their own hands, and they badly assaulted the accused, and the police had to intervene and stop them from setting him alight.
Wow, hey, sure.
You know, I don't want to say good, but my animal-loving side does kind of go, good for them, you know, but these people.
Yeah, at the end of the day, the community reacted, which is what we need.
It is what we need. Yeah. And then, Yaku, we spoke last week about the Metro Police dogs that are being euthanized rather than given to their handlers. What is your take on this?
Well, first of all, I find it very sad that the lady from the DA that made such a big noise about these dogs, she went on social media and badmouthed the SPCA. And then last week on air, she said that the SPCA was marvelous and they're doing a good job and they didn't act inappropriately. And that saddens us because by causing such a huge outcry and making the SPCA's name bad before getting all the facts first, it's quite upsetting. And it causes loss of income for us because people will stop donating then. But fortunately, she found the facts out and the Amamzantoti SPCA is now working closely with the Etiqueni Metro Police, as they did from the start in dealing with this matter. And I think that we have to stress the fact that the Metro Police signed the dog over to the SPCA to be humanely euthanized. And the SPCA have to act on that instruction. We cannot go against any owner, what their wish is. Same with a veterinarian. If you take your animal into a veterinary practice to be humanely euthanized, the vet has to, by law, act on your instruction and cannot change your wish after you've left.
Really? So if someone comes to you and says, euthanize this dog, you don't have the right to say, but it's a healthy puppy, we're not going to do it.
Sadly, we don't have the right to do that because they complete paperwork.
It's the right
and
of
the
ownership.
Paperwork, the owner has the lawful right to request what happens to the animal.
Well, let's just take a refresher. Last week, we had both the Imams and Toti SPCA on, and we had Diane Kohler-Barnard of the DA. And, you know, maybe she did lash out on social media, but I'm glad that she used this platform to then clear it up and say that the SPCA was just doing what they were told to do, which I think was what we got down to.
And we're quite pleased that she cleared it up, and we thank her for that.
No, for sure. But I think that is important, is to realize that the SPCA is not to blame. They're not out there to just euthanize dogs. And they, you know?
I think there's also so much politics, and we were talking earlier that people don't know how to report these cruelty acts. They don't know where to go, and they can seriously jeopardize it by going the wrong route, by posting on Facebook or social media. Social media is a blessing and a curse at the same time.
That's great.
It is.
Yaku, just before we move on from the story, I know you know quite a lot of details on it. The original the way we got hold of it was the article that was posted on News 24 about Butch, who was a service dog, and he wasn't allowed to go home with his handler, who reportedly, according to the article, wanted to take him home. But then the subsequent media release that was from, was the Itaquini Metro Dog Hound or Dog Pound, said that the owner didn't want him due to the medical costs.
Look, obviously from the SPCA's point of view, we can't comment on what happened prior to the Imams and Toti SPCA getting involved. But when the Imams and Toti SPCA got involved, the handler was offered the opportunity to adopt the dog. But because the dog had paralysis in both back legs, the owner then, or the handler for, sorry, the handler rather, didn't want to adopt the dog because it's quite expensive to treat an animal and keep it on medication.
Sure, and there may not have been quality of life for the dog either.
Yeah, that's correct.
Which is really the responsible decision. But it's just, you know, those articles, when they say things like that, that is what gets people angry. But I'm glad that you guys have cleared it and said, no, this was actually what happened. And the dog was actually suffering and needed to be euthanized. So,
but generally, Yaku, do with Metro Police now, is something happening there now? Are these dogs, when they retired, can they be adopted by their owners, or their handlers rather?
With the South African Police Service, we have an agreement. The NSPCA has got a standing agreement that all the animals that do not make the grade or that retire, if the handlers don't want to adopt them, they get signed over to the SPCA and we then find them homes. Unfortunately, with the Metro Police, because they're municipal based, it's not a national act that governs them. So therefore, the SPCAs or animal welfare organizations in that municipality is responsible in negotiating with those animals to be handed over to them. And the Mums and Toti SPCA is busy making negotiations with the Itaquini Metro Police Department.
And would the same apply to the rest of the country?
Sadly not. The SPCAs would have to have a standing agreement. With the City of Johannesburg, we know the Animal Anti-Cruelty League has an agreement with that Metro Police Department.
Tell me, Yaku, these dogs, ex-Metro Police dogs, ex-police dogs, do they make good pets? Do people adopt them?
When they don't make the grade to become police dogs, they then are handed over to the SPCAs for adoption. A lot of people are interested in adopting these animals, and most of them do find homes. Unfortunately, some of them do have behavioral problems because bearing in mind, they've been confined for quite a long time. They've been trained excessively. So, yes, they do make good family pets, but not all of them are suitable for adoption due to aggression and behavioral problems.
I was just going to say, is aggression a problem in them or not necessarily?
Not with all of them, but some of them do have, yes.
Yes. So they don't go back into the security industry?
Definitely not. And that's the main reason why the NSPCA pursued that to get them signed over to us, because in the past they would have been auctioned off and people would go and pay R5, R10 for a dog and then use them in the private security industry or for breeding.
My goodness. Because are they not spayed or neutered?
The police dogs, before they're handed over to the SPCA, are spayed and neutered now.
But not previously?
Not previously.
While they were, why is that?
Some people have this methodically thinking that these dogs, if they sterilize, they're not going to make a good guard dog. Mm. But which is untrue, because if you've got a female that's unsterilized, or a male for that matter, and you bring a female that's on heat, the dog's not going to do the work, and there's going to be distraction.
Yeah. Right. Correct. Right. Okay. So you say, but a lot of them do find good homes.
Most of them, yes.
That's good news.
But what we are saying is also there should be a plan in place for each dog. You know, when it goes into serving humans, there should be a sort of quote-unquote retirement plan. Do you know? Not just if the dog is well-behaved at the end of its service, then it can find a home. You know, there should be a contract in place with the handler, with, you know?
Correct, and that's why they should offer the handler the opportunity. But also we have to bear in mind that when those animals retire, they're at an age where medical cost is of concern. Mm. The dogs might have hip dysplasia or other medical concerns, and the handler might not be willing to take on that extra cost. And therefore, sometimes it does sound cruel, but sometimes the kindest thing to that animal is to humane euthanize it if it's got so many medical problems.
I think that's where the problem is. It shouldn't be the handler's financial responsibility. I mean, if this dog has lived its life in service to a certain organization, just as when a human retires, they pay that human out until, you know, ensuring that it is taken care of. So I feel that, the owner or the handler should be given the option to look after the dog, but should be financially compensated for its medical costs.
Subsidized.
That would be
ideal. Because they do form very, very strong bonds with their handlers. Don't know too much about it. Tell me, Yaku, I don't know if you know, these dogs, are they kept in kennels or do they go home with their handlers at night?
They're actually kept in kennels when they are off duty. Okay. So they don't go home with
the handler. So they're not half-family pet, half-working dog.
Correct. So the other issue also might be is that this dog might not get along with other people, because remember, they train to only work with their handler and act on instruction of that handler, and they also may not be friendly towards other animals, and that could also be a huge reason why the handlers don't adopt the dogs at the end, because they already have pets at home, so it's going to cause a bit of havoc at home. Yes.
And are we talking mainly German Shepherds here?
They're, funny enough, you get Labradors within the service, Border Collies, depending what type of dog or type of service that is rendered, because you've got your narcotics unit. There's various units within the police and the various industries that use dogs for safeguarding.
Yes.
And it all depends on the skills of the animal that's used. They use beagles, German Shepherd dogs, so there's quite a list of dogs being used.
Quite a list. Now, another thing that's been, you know, very in the media lately is this Yulin dog, am I pronouncing it right? Yulin dog meat eating festival, something
yes,
like that.
Yes, it's the Yulin dog meat Yulin festival.
Now, I know there was a lot of protests. There were lots of petitions being signed. Celebrities got involved, everybody from Ricky Gervais through to, I think it was Khloe Kardashian. It was huge. We don't have anything like that in this country, or is eating dog meat a problem here?
In South Africa, the consumption or the sale of dog meat is illegal, so that is not permitted in South Africa. And fortunately, the methods that is used is also illegal in South Africa.
It's barbaric.
It would constitute a contravention of our Animals Protection Act. And the NSPCA is strongly opposed to the Yulin Festival taking place. Sadly, we don't have any authority in other countries outside of our borders. But yes, we strongly oppose to this. We will always raise our opinion and that it should stop. It's barbaric. It's got no place in modern society. But we can assure you it will not take place in South Africa.
I think, but with or without the festival, there's a lot of countries that do eat dog meat just as a general thing, you know. So I think it's a bigger societal problem than just one festival.
That's correct. And unfortunately, it's inherited in some cultures to eat dog meat or cat meat. Fortunately, in South Africa, commercial consumption of dog meat is not permitted.
Yeah. And it's so weird how countries differ. I mean, you have this. And on the other hand, I saw these gorgeous images from Nepal where they have this day where they honor and celebrate their best friends, protectors. They put garlands around their necks. And, yeah, it's so weird how one country to another.
Yes, it just amazes a person. But if I may add, our country actually have strong animal protection legislation. Although it's old legislation, we outlawed a lot of cruel and inhumane practices, like dog fighting or animal fighting is illegal in South Africa. The bullfighting that you were talking about would also not be permitted. So there's so many practices that's illegal in our country and prosecutable in terms of our Animal Protection Act.
And Jaco, obviously the dog fighting, the cock fighting. What about greyhound racing? What is the NSPCA's thoughts on that?
Well, the NSPCA and the SPCA movement in South Africa strongly opposes any form of animal racing. That includes pigeon racing, dog racing, horse racing.
Really?
We do oppose that. There's a lot of cruelty involved with these types of sports. But fortunately, in South Africa, dog racing has been illegal since the early 1940s. The SPCA and the NSPCA movement fight every time that they want to legalize it. We raise our opinions, we submit facts, and we strongly oppose the legalization of this cruel and inhumane sport. And we've been successful every time.
But it still goes on underground?
Unfortunately, as with any criminal offense, it does happen underground. But if they are caught, criminal action will be taken against them.
Jaco, where does the cruelty come into place when racing? For instance, a horse or the greyhounds or even the pigeons. Where's the cruelty? Is it in training the animal to do that? Or is it in that they are pushed beyond their limits? Mm. What's the cruelty?
Okay, the cruelty starts from the beginning when the animal is born. The question is, do they cut the grade? Because if they don't, they dumped or they sold for breeding stock. The dogs specifically end up in illegal hunting. So basically our wildlife is poached with these dogs. They're kept in small cages, the dogs, for most of their life. They only exercised a couple of times a week. And then when their race lifespan is over, they just either get killed inhumanely or dumped.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And with horses, Jaco, same thing?
With the horses, again, the training techniques that's used and again, the age that they start racing, and also our biggest concern is when they retire, where do those animals end up? Mm. But with pigeon racing, it's a whole different scenario because those animals are exposed to inclement weather conditions, the distances they race. Fortunately, the NSPCA won a high court case making pigeon racing longer than 1,000 kilometers illegal in South Africa. We're one of the only countries that have a standing order in terms of that, which is great. And the NSPCA will always stand up and fight for animals and their rights.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, like we were saying earlier, anything where animals are used for human entertainment or to line a human's pocket should be illegal.
Yeah. That's correct. And we also have media outcries with regards to wild animals in circuses because animals, those are wild animals and they belong in the wild and should not be used for entertainment.
No, sure. And then when accidents happen, you know, it's the animal's fault. That's what always surprises me. It's never the human's fault. It's always the animal's fault.
Yes, but the interesting fact is to look and do research on how many people have been caught by lions or attacked by lions in the Kruger National Park, which those animals are free compared to to animals in captivity.
We're talking about the Lion Park incident. Yes.
Correct.
Absolutely. There's been a lot of controversy around the Lion Park in general. And, you know, a lot of whispers about what actually goes on there.
Yeah, the fact remains they're wild animals. They belong in the wild and not in captivity or being kept as pets.
Sure. I believe that lioness that did attack the American tourist, she wasn't euthanized.
Yes, they just said they were moving her to another camp a few kilometers away.
And I believe she's being seen to by an animal behaviorist because apparently she is still very stressed. So it's an ordeal for her too.
So I wonder, you know, I mean, she was just doing what lions do.
Sure. Sure.
I don't see why she needs a behaviorist. You know, I'm not being insensitive to life was
lost. I agree with you.
But yeah, wild animals.
That's what they do. It's their job. Jaco, before we let you go, I just wanted to quickly, there's a lot of people, as I say, in the next issue of Canine Zone, we've got this wonderful article that Michelle Falgate sent through to us, the right way to report cruelty. Now, I'm one of those people that have reported for cruelty. If you phone, two questions, just to allay the public's fears. Firstly, do you remain anonymous? And secondly, what are you looking for in cruelty? Because I know sometimes there's been a case where as long as there's food, shelter, that's it. That's fine. Nothing else, you know, is looked at. What would you answer to those two questions?
Well, first of all, when people report animal cruelty to us, we can assure them that their details will be kept anonymous. We've actually been taken to high court in the past to reveal details, which we won the case. And by law, we are not obliged to give out whistleblowers' details.
Oh, really?
Secondly, with regards to reporting of cruelty, the public need to understand with our justice system, we need to educate the public first. So depending on the severity of the case, we would issue a warning or two warnings for that matter, depending on the case. And then only after that, because we have to prove to the magistrate that he or she is issuing a lawful warrant for us to act in terms of the Animals Protection Act, because we can't simply just walk into someone's property and take the animals. We have to have a warrant.
Right.
So from our side, we have to fully investigate the case first and try and rectify the problems before we take them to court, because we have to prove beyond reasonable doubt that that person was cruel and inhumane to that animal, because sometimes it's just that they didn't know better or they didn't see the problem. So if they then don't comply, we then obviously enforce the law and get a warrant.
And it must be difficult. I mean, we had a neighbor that we reported several times. She was backyard breeding of little Chinese hairless. And every time we'd call, the neighbors would call the SPCA because these dogs were left outside. They would ring the doorbell. She'd see it's them. She'd put them all inside on beds and all the rest. So there was never any proof that there was abuse going on.
And that's why the public, when they report animal abuse, the best is to take photographs.
Get evidence.
Because if the inspector gets to the property and the animals now all of a sudden all have access to the house, which is shelter, then obviously they can't act. So, or the dog is chained and then the person runs quickly to unchain the animal. That's why it's always best to take photographs and then accompany that with your complaint. Yes. And then the inspector's got evidence to work on.
Right, right. Okay, so, you know, Yaku, I mean, you guys do an amazing job. You really do. I don't know how you keep your cool in some of these situations, that you don't want to leap across the table and throttle somebody. But, you know, I just want to thank you for all that the NSPCA does. And again, please, the NSPCA does not get government funding. They rely completely on the donations of the public. Yaku, where can they go? How can people help you?
If people wish to donate, they can visit our website, which is www.nspca.co.za, and donation information will be given on the website.
Fantastic. And good luck with the court case tomorrow.
Please keep us
posted.
And thank you for having us and for supporting
us. Only a pleasure. We will definitely have you back again because it's always such interesting conversations. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Yaku.
It's time for a WeChat workout. WeChat. Go to the Cliff Central account. Tap connect. Then message to show.
CliffCentral.com.
And we're back after that very, very interesting conversation with Yaku Peterson. I was just saying we covered so much.
Yeah, yeah. And what I like about Yaku is he's really willing to speak about anything.
Yes.
And he has the authority to do it, so you can really ask him all those difficult questions, whereas other people might say, you know, I'm not really authorized to comment on this and this. I really enjoy having Yaku and getting all the answers that we
have. No, absolutely. And I think we should have him in quite regularly because there's always questions, you know, about certain cases or what's happening or laws and regulations. And I'd especially like to have him back in again to talk about horse racing because that is something very, very interesting. People, they see it as a fun sport and all this kind of thing, but we don't realize the actual cruelty that goes into it, what happens to these horses afterwards.
Yeah.
I believe a lot of them actually go for slaughter, for meat. So we need to actually look at that. We definitely
do. I think a lot of people are quick to jump on the bad SPCA sort of bandwagon and, you know, they euthanize animals and all these things, but no one really looks at the good that they do and perhaps why they euthanize certain animals. So, you know, it really is nice to give them a platform and say,
absolutely,
let's hear your side
they've
of the
been
story.
Around for years and they have the authority to make a difference, which is why we need them. So now we've got a very special guest in our studio, the most adorable. You'll see the pictures. We'll post them later.
Definitely.
I mean, my heart just melted. All my life I've wanted to own a pug, but I've always ended up with the bigger dogs and never got the opportunity. One day. But we've got Cheryl and Malcolm Gore in. They are from Pug Rescue. And our special guest is little, tiny, little, what did you call him? A dwarf pug.
He's a dwarf pug.
He's a dwarf pug. His name is Pickle. And you just have to see this. I mean, he's just this tiny little thing. But Cheryl, let's just start talking about Pickle. There is no such breed as a dwarf pug, is there? You say he has medical conditions, which made him so little.
That's correct. So often we get phone calls about, where can I find a teacup pug or a dwarf pug? And my comment to that always is, if anyone tries to sell you a teacup pug or a dwarf pug, run like hell.
Watch it,
because there is only one breed standard with pugs. Pickle the dwarf pug has a condition known as osteochondrodysplasia. So he, in fact, is a skeletal dwarf.
Good heavens. And you say that's not all. He's also got diabetes.
He's also diabetic, and he is dependent on insulin. He gets two insulin shots a day. and he has a very controlled and restricted diet. So yes, he's also a diabetic.
Aww. I would imagine he was born with that condition. It wasn't due to diet and things like that.
The osteochondrodysplasia he would have been born with.
Oh, no, yeah, for sure. But diabetes, yes,
diabetes is something that's kind of, we're not sure why it's come about.
But is it like with humans? You have sort of type 1 and type 2, you know, the one that you're born with and the one that you develop due to your lifestyle.
Well, he would be a type 1 because he's dependent on insulin. Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah, yes. Of course.
So I'm not really a fundi on diabetes.
I don't think that dogs do get either type 1 or 2. I think they get diabetes.
Just the standard, yeah.
And that is it. But now Pickle's origins, he came out of junk mail. Pickle, just thrown away.
Yes, Pickle is a junk mail pug. Mm. And we'll always be so grateful to Christine, who in fact managed to rescue him out of junk mail, because our great concern would be is anyone who doesn't understand the pug breed would see this and go, oh, wow, look, a dwarf pug. Yes. Let me start breeding dwarf pugs. And not realizing that they're actually breeding a defective gene.
Oh, right, right, which leads to all sorts of problems. And pain and suffering for the little dog. Tell us, Cheryl, we'll go into pug rescue and how that came about. But let's look at pugs to start. They do make wonderful pets. Tell us a bit more about the breed. And also, you know, we'll get to later where you actually, if you want a pug, how to adopt one.
Okay. Well, pugs are bred to be companions. Mm. So if you're looking for a pug because you're very active, it's the wrong breed to get. However, if you are a couch potato and you want to sit and watch television all day and eat, because pugs are the most amazing appetites, then the pug is a breed for you.
Oh, it would be a breed for me.
Sure, it doesn't mean that you can't take them for walks. You can take them for short walks. But obviously, because they're brachycephalic and they've got these little flat faces, they will overheat very, very quickly.
You can't go jogging with them.
Yes, so they are just the most amazing pets to own. They're little clowns. They're the clowns of the dog breed. However, they also have, I can be lyrical and just carry on and on and on about how absolutely fantastic pugs are, because they are just the most amazing dogs to own. However, they do have one absolute negativity, which some people just cannot deal with, and that is the amount of hair that they shed.
Oh, really?
So they shed hair constantly, 365 days a year.
Okay.
And people will say, oh, but that's okay, I'll just brush them more often. You can brush and brush and brush and brush. They're still going to shed hair. So if you don't like a lot of hair around and hair all over your furniture and your clothes and your beds, because they want to sleep in your bed.
Right,
they have
absolutely.
You know, either on your lap all day and your
bed all
night.
Well, this is the challenge then, if their hair falls out, is that they are sort of lap dogs and they are going to be on you all the time, which
cause
problems.
And you know, we call ourselves puggers. Us puggers, we live with it and we just say we get stronger vacuum cleaners.
Absolutely.
Make sure we vacuum and sweep every day. Mm-hmm. But some people just, it's not for them, and that is fine. It's something that we make very clear as to what the positives and the negatives are of pugs before you adopt them from us. However, if you just go and buy a pug, that often is not shared with you, and then people are led into a breed that they actually don't understand the pros and cons of that breed.
That's always the problem, isn't it? We've mentioned it so many times before.
You've got to do your research.
Do your research and choose the right dog for your lifestyle, your family.
Yes.
And your circumstances.
Yes.
Now, another thing about pugs, I've got a good friend, Claudia and Judge Sharon. They love pugs, and I've spent a lot of time with their pugs, but they do also snore quite a lot, don't they?
That they do. And
let off wind?
They do. That they most definitely do. And it's one of the things that we indicate when you want to complete an adoption application is, do you know that pugs shed hair 365 days a year? Do you know that pugs snore? Because people need to know what they're letting themselves in for. However, again, you know, that sort of snoring can be very lyrical and can actually, you know,
I love
sort of
a dog snoring.
Like a lullaby, getting you to sleep at night.
Absolutely. It's very soothing. And the letting off wind, also something
you know, I don't think,
prone to.
I don't think more than any
than
other
the average
than,
dog. Any,
than the average dog. It's, you know, Pickle has quite a high protein diet, so he is quite renowned for letting off some winds. But once again, you know, we kind of like overlook
kind of
that.
Forgive
you know?
It,
we forgive him.
And Cheryl, what about obesity? Is that also something that they're prone to?
Very prone to that. And the reason is that pugs actually don't have an off switch when it comes to food. they will just eat and eat and eat. So if you give them, if you give them 10 kilos of food a day, they'll eat 10. Give them 20 and they'll try and get the 20 in. So very often you'll feed them and they'll still sit there with that face, you know, the, and the head bobbing from side to side and those eyes. And it's like, I haven't eaten all day. And you just have to be able to discipline yourself to not continue feeding them snacks. And you have to be very disciplined. You as a pug owner has to be very disciplined with their diet.
Not to give in to those eyes.
And it's so difficult not to.
I sometimes wish we were on TV so you could see, because little Pickle is waddling around the floor here. It's just heart melting. It's so adorable.
I mean, pugs are small and cute as it is. And then, you know, although it is a medical condition, him being a dwarf pug is, he's very cute. And I can see the appeal why people want this, the same thing.
Well, the average weight of a pug in South Africa is probably around 8.5 to 9.5 kilos. And Pickle weighs 4.2 kilos. So that might just sort of give your
context,
listeners, put it in context as to how small he really is.
And Cheryl, also talking about the breed, what do they have sort of genetic conditions? I know people have said a pug's eyes can pop out. Is that true? Are they prone to eye conditions?
We have never had an eye pop out with a pug. So for us right now, that is a myth because we've never seen that happen. However, because they don't have noses, their eyes actually can get damaged really quickly. And therefore, they are prone to eye ulcers. So an eye ulcer, you in fact have to have that seen to as a matter of urgency, because once the ulcer bursts, they can in fact lose their eye.
Goodness.
They do tend to have luxating patellas, and they do also tend to have collapsed tracheas.
Oh.
So, and unfortunately in South Africa, the really good breeders are no longer breeding. So you've got the same bloodlines going round and round and round. And we as Pug Rescue, who deals with close on to 250 pugs in any year, we in fact see how the breed is deteriorating, and we see how the breed, how the health problems are coming about, because we really don't know which breeders in fact are bringing bloodlines in from overseas. So you've got the same old bloodlines going round and round and round.
Because we've talked about that so often, about if you want to adopt, buy a dog rather, it is so difficult. You've got to find the right reputable, I use the word reputable. Registered means nothing. It really doesn't. And from what I know, there are very few people who actually breed or reputable pug breeders.
You're absolutely right. And what I was in fact saying to someone a little while ago when they contacted, because often we'll get a call and say, well, can you recommend a reputable breeder? We can't.
Really?
If you go to dog shows, just think of going to a dog show. Think of a dog show. Do you ever see pugs at the dog shows?
No, you don't. That's true.
And the reason why you don't is because no one's importing the bloodlines for the betterment of the breed.
But why is that with pugs?
I have no idea why that is. In fact, Malcolm and I have been asked, why do we look at doing that? And we go, no, well, that's a contradiction, because we don't believe that you can breed. Our personal belief is you can't breed and rescue. It just doesn't go hand in hand. But we have, in South Africa, I really do not know any reputable breeders. In fact, this is my opinion, and this is what we see, is that most of the breeders in South Africa are basically breeding for their back pocket.
Backyard breeders.
And this is what people don't understand, is no responsible, reputable breeder will ever sell their puppies in Junk Mail, Gumtree, OLX, or in pet shops. You will never find them there. You will, in fact, go on a waiting list for them.
Exactly.
Cheryl, sorry. I just want to ask you to pop on your headphones. We've had Bronwyn waiting on the line for quite some time. Bronwyn, thank you for your patience.
Hi. I just wanted to say I got two beautiful pugs from Cheryl from Pug Rescue 7 years ago when I was, before my sister was born. And they've been with us since our kids were born. And they've been absolutely amazing. I can't thank Cheryl and Doug enough for everything they do. Pugs are the best animals you could possibly have if you have children, because they can't hurt them. Their teeth are so small that they can't really bite. And they don't bite. Their nature is just gentle and lovely. My dogs have been crawled on and pulled on, and their ears chewed and their tails pulled, and they just wag their tails and come back for more. They are delightful, darling little dogs. And the fur issue aside, because I've stopped wearing black, the fur issue aside, everything else about my doggies is absolutely delightful.
Bronwyn, it's so lovely to hear your voice, and you're such a fantastic pug owner. Thank you so much for caring so well for your two adopted pugs.
Oh, thanks, Cheryl. I love you guys.
Love you too.
Hi, Bronwyn.
It must be wonderful to hear from parents that adopted their pug babies from you.
It most definitely is. And it's always so wonderful to have feedback and to know that our adopted pugs are just doing so well in their new homes.
So Cheryl, that leads us on to pug rescue. How did that all begin?
Well, if you told me 10 years ago that I would be rescuing dogs right now, I would say me. No, definitely not me. You know, I was very much into my career and my fancy cars and, you know, all materialistic stuff. However, Pug Rescue found us. We didn't go out looking for Pug Rescue. And we had two pugs at the time when my then sales manager's daughter's aftercare had a little pug running around there. And I said, well, if the pug is still there, please bring it back to your house and I'll come and fetch it, which we then did. And Malcolm phoned around and we found the owner, and then the owner decided that they were not going to come and fetch the pug. We then, the pug club of Gauteng, in fact, had a pug rescue as part of the pug club. So I contacted them and said, do you offer a rescue? And they said they did. And I took little Scooby to them, cried all the way back home because I felt like I was rejecting him. Then I decided to adopt him. And Sarah van der Moerlen then asked whether I would be interested in running the rescue side of the pug club. I said, you know, I have such a demanding career that I don't think I'd be able to do that. And she said, well, you know, it's only about 20 pugs a year. So I said to my husband, I'm sure we can fit 20 pugs a year into our life. Well, we then took it over and then registered as a separate entity. And now we're rescuing on average 250 pugs in a year. Mm. So that's how Pug Rescue came about. It was never planned. It was just the way, you know, the universe had decided to direct us.
Mm. And I've seen, I mean, it's not just pugs. I've seen all these stories. I mean, this, Jonna, is a real animal angel. You sat in Valiers night after night in the freezing cold to find a little feral dachshund.
We did.
And you eventually trapped him.
We did. In fact, what happened is on the 21st of April, Malcolm was coming back. My husband was coming back from a business trip in Durban. And in fact, he was bringing a pug back with me. So that's why he had to drive back and he couldn't fly. And he stopped off at Villiers at the last stop. A little pug, you know, stretch his legs and do what pugs do. And then he saw this little Daxi running around and he tried to catch the Daxi and was asking the guys about the Daxi. And they said, no, the Daxi's been there for about 6 or 7 months.
Jeez.
Of course, he couldn't catch the Daxi. Came home, told me about it. And then now I knew about it. I couldn't just do nothing.
No, so it's playing on your mind.
So it's playing on my mind. So we had a team of pug rescue girls headed off there. And Christine was she was always with me. And it took us eight trips to Feliz, which is like 1.5 hours there, 1.5 hours back. And we sat out amongst the truckers and all the nightly duties that happened there. It took us a total of 78 hours to finally trap this little girl. Yeah, it's a little girl. And, so we brought
her. Why was she there? Do you think she was abandoned?
They say that the staff there say that she was abandoned. They say apparently somebody
just dropped her off
and left. So, so the one night, we spent the whole night there. We got there at 5:30 in the afternoon, and we only left at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Goodness.
And we tried the most weird and wonderful ways of trapping her. And the very last night, the eighth time, in fact, that we were there, we got there at 3:15 in the afternoon, and Christina and I thought, okay, you know, let's see maybe if we get there earlier. And they told us where she hangs out during the day, but we couldn't see her, and we put the trap out there, and then we moved the trap again to Die Putstal. You know, this Villiers engine has got a putstal, and we put it there, and up until 8:20 that evening, we had not seen her. And we were asking the staff, is she still around? We hope nothing had happened to her. And they said, yes, they had seen her the previous day. They hadn't seen her that day. And I said, if we don't see her by 8:30, we're going to have to pack up. I mean, you know, there are other things that need to be done. And suddenly Christine grabbed my arm and said, there she is. Mm. And it literally took 5 minutes. She went and got into the trap, set the trap off, and there we had her. And it was like just the most amazing feeling.
And she's still with you now.
She's still with us. Yes. And in fact, I'd love to keep her, but
I was just going to say, is this a permanent resident?
Well, if we find that absolutely amazing home, then we will let her go. But it was quite an experience. And a lot of people were asking us, but it's not a pug, you know, why are you spending so much time trying to catch this little dog when it's not even a pug?
Yes.
We know it's a little life that needs to be saved.
Yeah, sure.
So we had to do what we do, because often people think pug rescue. So why do you only rescue pugs?
It's not the case.
Right now, in fact, on Friday I did roll call at Pug Rescue. There are 96 doggies at Pug Rescue. Of which 31 are non-pugs.
That's one out of every three dogs you rescue is not a pug.
Are not pugs. And then we also have our outreach program that we run in the Gabon informal settlement in Daveyton, where we have over 1,000 dogs and cats registered with us. And we in fact take a vet out with us. and we offer veterinary care. We sterilize and we feed. So we do, in fact, I think we assist more non-pugs than we assist pugs at this stage.
But, you know, that's also something that I wanted to talk about. You guys do so much in terms of marketing. I haven't been there yet, and I promise, Cheryl, I was saying now to Heike, who's here with me today, we will
Sharon's
be coming.
Got an intern today,
eh? Yes, we will be going to Pug Rescue. I've seen the pictures. You've got these gorgeous little Wendy houses for them and all that sort of thing.
We do have, and we also take flak for that, believe it or not, but be that as it may. When Malcolm and I decided, when we got into Pug Rescue, we had this beautiful paid-off house, and, you know, we were going to just, like, enjoy our life and travel, and then animal welfare found us, and now we're poor because we've invested all our money into animal welfare. But we had to sell, and then we had to move to a property that's 9,000 square meters. We bought that and then pulled some of our investments and built the shelter. The one thing Malcolm did say to me is, if we're going to do this seriously, it has to be a place that we would be happy for our own dogs to live in.
Yes.
If we aren't happy for our own dogs to live in, then why should any other animal come and live there? So we do try and offer all the animals in our care a home away from home. So that's, and I think we've achieved
it. And you have
it.
All these wonderful, tell us about your pug days, and is it the Yappers Day and all that sort
we
of
have,
thing?
We have the second Saturday of every month, we have a fundraiser called Yappy Hour.
Yappy Hour.
So that is where pug owners come along with their pugs, and it's not just pug owners, because any dog that enters our property is an honorary pug for that day if they're not a pug. So if you have a well-socialized doggy, you can come in and have some fun. And then every month we have different themes. Last month was my pugs got talent. Obviously, pug now being a generic for any doggy.
Yes, yes.
So then we have little talent shows, and we have Pugentines, and we have the Pug Olympics. We have what we call the Pug Olympics, and we've got this like little area, and then they're going to show us their skills. But it's more about having a good laugh, and it's not about. You know, who gets the prize?
Because they are little clowns.
They are just little clowns.
Amazing.
And we just sit and we'll just have a day of fun and laughter. And it's, you know, a whole lot of people that love animals that are together.
Yes.
And people now have a place that they can bring their animals. And sometimes we have live music. So the second Saturday of every month starts at 12 o'clock at Pug Rescue.
Oh, that sounds so much fun. And, I mean, we were talking about it earlier. I know we've got an article in the current issue of Canine Zone. It's on shelves now. About Charlie, the little pug that was adopted from you.
Yes.
Beautiful story. But, again, people listening and saying, oh, we want a pug. Please, we cannot stress enough, am I right, Cheryl, do not purchase from a pet store. Do not go online. Do not go to a backyard breeder. Rather go and adopt.
Absolutely. And, you know, very often one of the comments I've had as well, and this breeder was so kind. He saved me the trouble to travel out all the way to where he is. He met me at the garage.
Because he doesn't want to show you.
Exactly. He doesn't want you to see how those animals are living in the state that the parents are in. So, in fact, he's just fooling you. And you just, by purchasing from these backyard breeders, whether you like it or not, you're part of the animal abuse.
You're supporting the trade.
Yes. And whether it's a pug, a border collie, a husky, a Boston, a peak, whatever it might be, a little crossbreed, you will find it in a shelter.
Absolutely, you will. Cheryl, before we go, we're running out of time. Tell us how people can get hold of you.
We have a website, pugrescue.co.za, and we also have a Facebook page, Pug Rescue South Africa. And they're more than welcome to like us. They also can like Pickle's page, Pickle the Dwarf Pug. He has his own Facebook page with 8,366 friends.
Hey, that's more than me.
Yeah, it's more than me.
Sure.
Certainly. And then we also have your little ad and information in Canine Zone
Thank
magazine.
Thank you so much.
We
really appreciate that.
And we're going to keep working with you to try and find all these babies' wonderful
Thank
homes.
Thank you so much.
So, that's it for this show. Jono, we've covered so much today.
Yes, it's been a serious but also a fun show. So
yeah, it's been a great fun show. I don't even know what we've got lined up for next week. I know it will be great.
Yes. And also remember, the week after that, we have our interview with author Mary Beth Haynes on the power of pets. She's coming to us from Canada.
Yes, and then after that, it's WODAC. I'm going to be at WODAC for a couple of days.
Big things.
That'll be lots and lots of fun. But thanks for listening in. And as we always say, go out and give all your pets a big hug from us.
CliffCentral.com